Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we are going to be covering Bridgerton Season 4, Episode 3, The Field Next to the Other Road.
This, I have to say, is probably the stupidest episode title. I know you've explained to me that these are all named after paintings. I think that the showrunners are fucking with us.
What do you mean?
Well, first of all, we've Googled some of these paintings that have, like, zero bearing on the episodes to which...
There's a childlike wonder.
Sure, this looks like refrigerator art, this particular painting, The Field Next to the Other Road. The title has no relation, in my opinion, to the actual episode. And the last one didn't really either, the time thing. It had like a weird Magritte kind of feel to it as a painting, and it just... I think that they're being so oblique and obtuse that it's some sort of inside joke that I'm not getting. You know, it's like, okay, good for you. Yeah, y'all know art. Yay! Two thumbs up for you. We have our usual caveats, which include that there will be cursing for this episode. There will be spoilers for sure, especially I'm going to be talking about the book, because there are variations from the book. And we're going to talk about what we think about those. Yes.
Yes.
And we are having things to drink. Actually, I came up with this.
You did.
Because I'm having so much fun with the Regency Book of Drinks and all of the ways that they can pair with different episodes. Because much of this episode is at Benedict's bachelor lodgings, known as My Cottage, which is in the country. I went with Bachelor Lodgings, which is a cocktail in this book, and it calls for 2.5 ounces of Irish whiskey. I only used 2, so whatever. It calls for half an ounce of Benedictine liqueur, which I don't have. I've had it before. It is a honey-based liqueur. What I had was a pear honey brandy, and I used more than half an ounce because I kind of wanted it to mellow out the Irish whiskey a little bit, and some Angostura bitters, and it is served basically like you would serve over an old-fashioned large block of ice. I like it, honestly. It's a very lovely color. It's got this really rich kind of caramel color to it, coppery almost.
It's sweeter than I anticipated.
Yeah, it's probably because I put a bunch of the bear.
I'm glad you did.
But it's really tasty. It's quite tasty. So I'm kind of liking it. So let's get started.
All right. Season 4, Episode 3, The Field Next to the Other Road. Where to begin? I think that we can cover Francesca...
Let's get rid of the Queen Charlotte thing.
Oh, we'll do the Queen first, then Francesca, then
the Maid
Wars.
We can get rid of Maid Wars pretty easily too. So.
And then Violet.
Oh, but Violet.
Violet's later. Violet will be before Benedict and Sophie.
Yeah.
So let's begin with the Queen. The Queen, now that she has her emotional support, Lady Danbury, back, is feeling much improved. And she's like, well, we can just ignore the fact that I'm keeping you here under duress.
Yeah.
Emotional manipulation.
Basically, you're a hostage. And no, I'm not going to replace other ladies-in-waiting because you will be all ladies-in-waiting to me.
And not to say that, like, her reasoning for, like, the fear that she expressed last episode isn't valid. But she also... has completely foregone any growth she could have gotten from that vulnerability by just being like, well, let's just go back to the way things were so we don't have to think about this ever again. It's like, no, that's not what should happen. What should happen is that you apologize, you realize that what you're asking for is inherently very selfish and very wrong of you to expect from her.
This is a theme in this episode, by the way.
Yeah. And so she's completely foregoing any of that. Lady Danbury confides in Alice Mondrich about it. And Alice is just like, well, it seems like she needs a kick in the pants.
Well, right. She's like, why does she even have ladies in the meeting if she's not getting anything out of it? And how could anyone ever replace you? And Lady Danbury's like, maybe I could find somebody. So, yeah.
So she tells the Queen.
And the Queen's kind of like, well, good luck with that. You're never going to do that.
And she's like, yes, the fuck I am, so I can get the fuck out of here.
Right, basically.
And so, that's
it.
Where that is.
There are maid wars. So
Francesca.
Oh, you want to do Francesca
It's
first?
quick. Much,
Francesca is
unfortunately,
trying to
quick.
find her own clitoris, okay?
She's hoping that John will find it for her, but she is having difficulty with
And
him
you can't
finding
tell him
it.
where
She doesn't know about orgasms
is. And no one's talked to her. Now, I'm going to say this up front. This is not Francesca in the books at all. So Francesca in the books, and you get to see like little bits of her. She writes to Eloise when they're
Yeah,
younger
she's
in
the
the
one who
book.
tells
She's the one,
Eloise
she
about
tells
it.
Eloise about like what men and women do in bed. She knows all this stuff and she'd gotten it out of a maid and like there's so much
Daphne should
information.
have told her by now.
Well, and Daphne, of course, was very clear, like she was going to tell everybody, and especially like in the book, she's very adamant that she's not going to let any of this shit happen to her sisters. So, you know, the fact that we don't have Daphne, I guess, allows them to make this left turn with Francesca's character. But Francesca in the books is, and she's very,
Experienced.
she is also happy with John. It's not a situation where she's not sexually satisfied, and but they are changing that for this series, and so that's I guess they're trying to like have basically a re-Daphne, like, oh, I don't know what an orgasm is. Let show me what an orgasm is. Or, I mean, not that Daphne didn't figure it out very quickly, because Simon helped with that, but
I think that
John's very sweet and doesn't ask those kind of questions.
Yeah, I think what they could have done slightly differently, in my opinion, is instead of her not reaching her orgasm or whatever, it could just be a concern about fertility instead, because that is one of her concerns that she brings up to him of, hey, is there anything I need to be doing to make sure that we can get pregnant? Because I've not been doing anything and nothing's happening.
Right. And we see them in bed together and she's basically fully dressed. It's like he's very
Gentle with her.
gentle with her. Exactly. I think he is afraid, oh, she's a virgin and I shouldn't be messing with
He's very
her.
sweet.
And he's basically letting her take the lead. And
And she
so,
doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
because no one's told her. So she spends a lot of this episode trying to figure out what this, because he's like, well, you should be having a pinnacle. I'm told that like women who have a pinnacle are more likely to get pregnant. This is not
That's not true.
factual, by the way. That is not a biological thing.
But it still makes sex more enjoyable, so hence having more sex, which would probably get you pregnant.
Possible.
Either way, she goes to Penelope, where they're having like a double date at an ice cream parlor. She gets vanilla because she's the most basic ass bitch in the world.
White.
Well, no, it's not even that.
No,
It's
I know.
just vanilla sex.
Yeah,
So,
they're having vanilla every day.
exactly.
And I will say this, it is the cutest fucking thing Penelope and Colin show up having had sex in the carriage. Again, they're like, oh my God, we're in a carriage, we have to have sex.
It's like their like Pavlovian response of being in a
Like,
carriage. It's just like I either have to finger you or we're having full blown sex.
and then they start having full blown sex,
And
and
there you
they're
go.
yeah, and Penelope's like, God, are we so obvious? And Penelope's and Francesca's reaction to this is kind of like, oh my God, people are like, they like this. You know, that she seems very shocked
Because she doesn't know anything. And so
as portrayed, yes.
she actually shows quite a bit of bravery in asking Penelope, hey, what is this? And
What
then
am
Penelope's like, you haven't gotten one yet? And she's
I?
just like, and
And so
then
she's like, and then the boys come out with the ice cream, so she can't follow up on the conversation at
so
all.
she follows it up with Violet. And Violet
Oh
is useless at having talked about sex with her children.
Violet. She just cannot.
She gets nervous about it regardless, but especially with their children. Like, even with her sexual partners, she gets really
We're about to see that
flittery
in this
about
too,
it.
but yeah.
And so she's trying to describe it and she just can't do it. And so Francesca's like, fine, this is useless. And so she goes back to Penelope.
Right. And so like she's like, what is this pinnacle? I don't want analogies. I don't want similes.
I like
You
that.
need to tell me. And Penelope describes it for her. And I think she describes it decently.
I think so too.
And so she's kind of like, wait a minute.
Interesting. That's
Fascinating. fascinating. But no one uses, I mean, she does make it clear that that is a sensation,
It's not
like.
like anatomical terms of this is a point on your body that can help you get there.
Right, no, and there's no, and then she starts like going off on segues about like you can get that feeling about looking at biscuits. No,
No, that's not
no.
what she says. She uses an analogy to get to the biscuit thing, but she's like, well, sometimes it could be like a very heated glance that can get you started in that direction. And that's true, but
That's
it's just
true.
like,
Yeah, but
as far
that's
as
not.
physical love is concerned, there are certain things that you can do and that John can do
That
to
are gonna
help
help.
you get
And no
going.
one says this to
And
Fletcher.
nobody tells her.
And it's not like she's not trying. She's
No.
definitely
But
trying.
it's also an awkward conversation to have with her husband now that she hasn't told him, hey, I haven't reached my climax
Yeah,
yet.
exactly.
And
Because she didn't
she's
even know
trying to
she was
cover it up.
supposed to. So, God
Poor
bless her.
baby. She just doesn't know anything.
No, it's really
And
sad.
John doesn't, it gives me the impression that John's not very experienced either.
Yeah, it does. And I can see that about him. He
He's more
doesn't.
introverted.
And he doesn't seem like super assertive. When you get the impression that he probably like was maybe like taken to a brothel
I was about
once
to
or
say, I
something and
cannot
like
imagine him frequenting a brothel more
no.
than once.
Right. He probably went once when he was like, I don't know, whatever age they do
18.
that. And then like that's it. He's like, and I'm just gonna wait and save myself for marriage. Because he knows like basic stuff.
Well,
And
he
I'm
knows
guessing
what to do.
most guys, well,
I have
I
no idea what he knows,
don't know.
and
I
but
don't
clearly he
either.
doesn't know a lot about how females get their.
Right, because he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who said mistresses or anything
Oh
else. Like
no,
real,
that's not
and
John.
that is not John. And so he doesn't know how to ask. He doesn't know how to pleasure her.
I think that's another thing that's missing from this storyline for me, seeing John's point of view of it. Since we are in a Brit in Bridgerton where it's more of an ensemble show, and we got to see a little bit of John's perspective last season, I think it's a little bit of a missed opportunity for us not to see like him talking to, I don't know, Colin about, I think that Francesca's not really enjoying herself. What can I do better?
Yeah, but he's not that kind of guy anyway. I mean, he does not seem to be somebody who would go to someone else for advice. He just gets ideas. Like when Francesca's like, I'm interested, this music should be rearranged. He just
He
goes and
walks
does
off
it.
and does it.
Yeah, he walks off. He's a man of action, but not words. And there some words are helpful. A lot of words maybe too much, but there's a good balance that can be had and words can help. And actually, he's incredibly sweet to her
So
about this.
sweet.
So, like, he's very much like, hey,
I've heard pray tell of this pinnacle.
yeah, like,
Maybe you could
you're
find it
having a pinnacle,
somewhere.
right? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, okay, good. But it's not, he doesn't know, like,
He also is always asking her if she's enjoying herself, and that's
yeah, and
very
he
sweet.
cares. He just
He
doesn't know
definitely
what
does.
to do. And I think he expects her to tell him.
Yeah,
And
because
how in
she.
the hell would
And if they were both more experienced, they probably would be able to tell each other. But since they're both afraid to mess it up for whatever reason, for one reason or another, they
Yeah.
are just having
Not
difficulty.
communicating. That's what's happening. Is they are not communicating either physically or verbally. And a lot of like what you see with Simon and Daphne is like it's the physical just happens. Now, Simon is very experienced.
Oh,
Same
yeah,
with
he's a
Antony.
whore.
Antony's totally experienced, but both Kate and Daphne are willing and excited participants. And I don't know that we got that sense with Francesca. Not that she's
At
not
least this
willing.
version of
It's, yeah, it's
Francesca.
not that she's not willing. It's that
No.
she's not understanding what participating means.
Yeah, and
And
she's kind of been that way since since we've met this version of her.
she is now like sexually in the woods without a vest.
Oh,
Poor
that's
thing.
sweet, sweet girl. She just doesn't
Yeah.
know, and I can understand her being concerned about like, well, does this mean I don't love him? Does this mean blah blah blah? It's like, no, it doesn't mean any of that. It
It
just
just
means
means,
that you guys need to communicate about what's going on.
and you need to be more,
Expressive.
well, right. That's a conversation that's going to come up anyway. So,
So
that's
that's
pretty
that.
much Francesca for this.
Maid
Although
Wars.
I will say, like, all of these things where Francesca and Penelope are getting together make Eloise super uncomfortable because she can't be part of it and she doesn't understand it.
Yeah,
So,
because when Eloise comes in after the final conversation that they have about reaching the pinnacle and all that stuff, and like what it actually feels like and whatever. Eloise comes in and she's like, "What are you guys talking about?" And Eloise is just, sorry, and Penelope just goes, "Oh, it's marriage stuff. Don't worry about it." And it's like, "Oh, so I can't be a part of your conversations. Oh, you guys are going on outings together and I'm not invited. Oh, I see how it is because you're married." And
Well, right, and you know Eloise is feeling left out.
oh, absolutely. Like she has to go to, oh, speaking of, she has to go to her Hyacinth's finishing lesson.
This is so funny. Hyacinth, so Violet is kind of like, well, Eloise, I'm not going to make you hang out with suitors. Bennet made me promise, so you can help Eloise, help Hyacinth with her finishing lessons. And Hyacinth's like, yes, you might get a lot of like things like posture. You know, I mean, she's just given her the business. And you know, typically you would expect in the way the banter that has been so much a part of the Bridgerton siblings that she's, because Hyacinth is giving it out the way she is, you expect that Eloise can take it and dish it, you know, give it back. But Eloise is very sensitive about it, and she's not giving it back. She's just kind of like, ugh,
Well,
fine, they're all out to get
you
me.
like that, so you suck, obviously. It's like,
Right.
no, that
No.
doesn't offend Hyacinth. Hyacinth, she
She's a
there
rock
she
star.
has certain she is a rock star. She has certain buttons that you can push, and she will, but it's more of a culmination of things that gets to Hyacinth, not necessarily just jabs here and there from Eloise. Like she can take that. And so at finishing lessons, Eloise is seeing like her future as a spinster is a little bit more bleak than she initially thought. Even like just in a seating chart, she would be placed next to the elderly and no one interesting, probably. And so she's starting to see it as maybe this is not a good thing for me. And
Yeah.
again, I think that this is setting up her season really well because
Yeah, I think so too. Although we are getting some setup for Francesca as
I
well,
think
and
we're
we're
getting
gonna
set
talk
up for
about.
both of them just so that we can. It's like, well,
We'll
you
be
have
like,
mine, I have
oh
mine.
no, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no. I think that it's pretty clear. It's we know it's one or the other.
Right.
I think that Francesca's needs a little bit more time to breathe
I
than
agree.
Eloise's does, so I think that Eloise should be next.
I would agree with all of that. And we've had so much more character development with Eloise for season upon season upon season.
Yeah.
So I, you know, because we have been kind of Francesca deprived, even though that's part of her character, it is important, I think, to be emotionally invested in her in some way. And we're far more emotionally invested, good or bad, with Eloise than we are with
And
Francesca.
that's just time, really. I can get really emotionally invested into Francesca, and they're probably going to make me more emotionally invested into her as this season goes
Bennett.
on.
Yep.
But and I'm even feeling bad for her now, so it's like it's possible, but with her with having the cast changing and also like her finally getting like a full season like arc for herself last season for the first time,
Right.
just the character, not even just the actress, but having that be like the first season that she is actually being seen and having a full arc, I think that it's important to give her more development.
Yeah.
And so, and
Yeah.
hers is really nuanced. She has a very nuanced, a little bit more spread out storyline. So I think it makes the most sense for Eloise to be next because it can be, if you need it to be, compacted.
Yeah, I agree.
Either way,
Anyway,
we'll talk more
so
about that next episode,
yeah,
probably,
well,
but
so we've
Maid Wars.
finished made so the Maid Wars. So because Sophie was fired, dismissed, apparently, Lady Penwood, Araminta, has decided that she has to hire four maids to replace her. And all I could think is, where's the money coming from for
Well,
this shit?
I think I know.
I think I do
However,
too.
it's probably from the book, probably her dowry.
From, yeah,
Or
Sophie's dowry, not.
the inheritance that was promised to be tripled for Araminta if she kept
Right. And
Sophie
so
on.
Araminta's probably thinking, I've got to
Or
spend it.
allowance.
Right. I've got to spend this before they start thinking that. You know, they should take it back into whatever trust, I guess,
Yeah.
would be in place for that. And so,
I also think that in the book, and it's been a while since I've read the full book. I read like a couple chapters leading up to this.
I read the whole thing.
I should have, but from what I recall, she figured out that it would take four maids. It was like a process. It wasn't immediately like, well, Sophie's gone now, I need four maids. It's
Oh no,
So
like
she has a maid come in and try to do all of the work that so have her do all the work Sophie did, and the maid
can't do
can't
it.
do it, and so she has to hire like three more people to carry the load that Sophie was carrying.
Well, in the book, she doesn't actually hire three more people. She just keeps going, trying to overload onto the one maid, and they keep leaving. And so, in the process, but what we're at is the beginning part, and it's being talked about in Lady Whistledown, Queen Charlotte's complaining about maid wars. But the maid wars thing is a significant factor in this, and I think, and as it's being set up on the show, and we're going to talk about it in the next episode. The way it's being set up, I think, is going to be a plot point, which is why we're actually talking about it. Otherwise, I'd be like, fuck this, it's
No, but it's
boring.
also from the book. Like you
Oh,
get
yeah.
the Lady Whistledown bits that you get in the book are all about the maid wars, and
Yeah, who's stealing who and whatever. This comes up in a couple of different contexts in this episode. Among them, she's stealing maids from other people. Varley, who is the housekeeper at the Featheringtons' home, has been approached. And she raises with Lady Featherington, hey, I deserve a raise. And Lady Featherington acts like she's going to consider it, but instead gives her a bunch of ancient, ugly ass dresses.
Ancient being 2 years out of fashion.
Well, they're like season one, season two
It's
Bridgerton dresses.
disgusting.
They're
They are
not
awful.
pretty. And Varley's like, what the
She
fuck
would
am I
look
going to
like
do
Big
with this?
Bird.
Yeah,
It was,
like,
it's so bad.
it's awful. And Varley's kind of like, you are acting like I don't deserve a raise. And I've been so good to you, but I'm not family. You can't treat me like, I'm disposable. And Lady Featherington is so dumb. She's just like, well, I guess you could just leave. Go ahead. Like, I think
She
Lady
just is
Featherington
so,
feels like, she's dismissive of the idea that Varley would actually leave.
she's so high on her own shit that
She's
she
so
doesn't
dumb.
think that Varley would ever leave her because, oh, well, we've been together for so long and blah, 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 blah. No, she's also your employee who deserves a raise after 20 years of service. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, and also, given that she has done so many more things for you than a regular housekeeper, like, no. And so Varley leaves.
Well, so we're going to see that actually in the next
Well,
episode,
we'll see
but
where she goes in the next episode.
but
You can already
she
have an inkling of where she's going.
right we do see there's a garden party that Violet and Marcus attend, and the hosts of that garden party had their coachman stolen by Lady Penwood, and everyone's just kind of like, oh yeah, aren't I good, I got all these great people and I can pay them all this money and blah blah blah. And of course that's not actually how it happens in the book, but I like this idea that which in my mind is she's spending Sophie's money.
No, I definitely think that's it.
So,
And
and it makes it a
I really
thousand
like that
times
that's
worse.
how we're seeing this happen because it's to make herself feel grander. And we'll find out ne next episode just how much she might be spending and how much Sophie's money might have been worth. And oh my God, it honestly, it will make the ending that much like more crazy and like
If they do it the way I think they're going to do
I
it,
think they
yes.
are going to do it the way that we want it to
Yeah.
be. And I mean, I think I have confidence in the fact that they're going to stick with that general idea of her spending Sophie's money.
So we need to talk about Violet and Marcus.
Yes, we
And
do.
they are so cute.
I didn't like them before.
I didn't either. And I think a lot, I'm going to reiterate this, and it's probably going to come up again. But the fact that they have given him less dialogue, and let her kind of, we get to see her inner monologue, her turmoil about this desire to be with a man, plays out in this episode, and it's going to play out in the next episode as well. And the fact that he kind of lets her talk and is like, that's really cute, that's hot, let's get to it, let's
We
get to
don't
it.
have to do anything. It can be in your own time. And she's like, no, I want to. And
Yeah,
it's like,
let's kiss.
oh,
And
okay.
so they talk at the garden party. She shows up at his house later,
Unannounced.
unannounced, by herself. People leave the room, and she's like, and she gives this whole spiel about my body's different. I don't know how this would work. I don't know if I should be doing this. I've had 8 kids,
Maybe it only worked with
but
Edmund. I
maybe
don't
I don't
know.
know. But I want to try with you. I'm really attra basically, I'm really sexually attracted to you. And he's kind of like, cool. And then they
He's such
kiss.
a guy about it.
He's
He's
such
just
a
like,
guy, but he doesn't
"You're really
talk, which is
cute.
good.
I love you." Not I love you, but you know, it's just like, "You're cute. Let's do this."
Right.
Because
And
I'm
so they
down. And
kiss.
so they
That is
kiss.
very, that is kiss. The kiss is passionate. And then when they pull away from each other, they're both kind of like, ooh,
It's giving Lady and the
that
Tramp after
was
the spaghetti moment,
Oh.
like the little like blush, like, oh,
Mm-hmm.
it's cute.
That
And
is cute.
it's there's a reason why that works. And I think the reason is because Violet, we're seeing more of Violet's inner monologue, like you said. If what I didn't like, I think what I didn't like about last season was that he had multiple plot lines that we had to keep track of for him, and he was a new character. And I didn't care about his plot line with Lady Danbury. I thought it was petty and boring. And then with Violet, it was just like the very beginnings of, well, maybe I'm attracted to you, which is not as fun to watch as, oh, we might be doing something, oh, whatever. And not to say that they had to have sex or like a kiss or anything to make me invested in their story. But I think just what they're doing in this season of like little cute stolen moments and less focus, I think works better.
Right. And because to me, this is acknowledging that it is a subplot, not a plot.
Yes.
And I think that that's important
There's
because,
some humor in it.
yeah.
It's not like overly serious about it. It's showing that, and it kind of bleeds into other plots of like her talking to Francesca about the pinnacle and being like, "Wait, can I ever
Yeah,
reach that again? Oh my
she's like, it's
God."
been a long time for me. Gosh, I kind of want to do something about that. So
Exactly.
it does make some sense with that. There's also this, enjoy stuff while you can kind of thing, from her perspective. And so
Appreciate what you have.
appreciate what you have, appreciate what's available to you. And
Yeah.
that's sweet. So
That's
let's
sweet.
talk about Benedict and Sophie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. This
One of
is
Natalie's favorite scenes is in this. From
well,
the book, anyway. You love the lake
I
scene.
do love
You
the
love
lake
it.
scene. I think my favorite of this season thus far, there are a few. One of them is in this, and one of them is the lake scene in this. But the other, actually, no, there are a lot of scenes I like from this.
All right, so
But
let's go
last
back again.
episode's enchanted door crack scene is, I think, probably number one right now, at
It's
least,
very, very sweet.
from what we've covered so far.
Yeah.
Either way, so this is getting to a section of the book that I really enjoy, which is the My Cottage segment, because it gives Sophie and Benedict a chance to breathe outside of society and get to know each other as people and not as positions.
Right. And I think that that's one of the things that's really important about their relationship. If it was all London structure, I think
It wouldn't work as well, I don't
it
think.
wouldn't. But we're going to talk about some of it too, because some of the subject matter that is part of that London structure comes up in this episode.
Yes. So, because you can't always forget like the position, which is a cold dose of reality. Either way, so they are riding along the road and they are still in the country. They're hours away from London. And
And Sophie knows it. Like Benedict's like, oh, it's not that far. And she's like, look at the constellations, dude. And oh, by the way, it's about to rain. He's like, no.
I also like that he's trying to break the ice of just
Yeah.
being, he's such an extrovert. It's so clear that like he's very extroverted. He really likes to talk to people. He can't stop talking. And so whereas Sophie has been taught for a majority of her life as a maid to shut the fuck up. So she's kind of like giving short answers and not really, but he brings out the talkative part of her, which I like,
Yeah, that's
of
cute banter.
they have such cute banter. And I think a lot of it is, it's not just the chemistry between the actors and the characters and all that stuff. It's also just,
The direction, of
I think
course.
the direction really helps. Yeah. And I don't know. It's just cute. And the fact, again, the fact that they have kept Benedict's like humor throughout, I think has been a really great help in
Yeah, he's a little
understanding him.
self-effacing, but not really. Like,
Yeah.
he has the arrogance that comes with that. Like, you are a privileged guy, so you can act like you're self-effacing, but everybody knows that you're not.
But he's also a grin and bear it kind of guy, kind of like Sophie is, but he masks it with humor instead of a stone cold facade. Either way, get caught in the rain. They have to stop at his cottage, also called My Cottage.
Which is basically a gothic mansion.
It is literally a mansion. It's very funny. She thinks the stables is the cottage, and he's like, no. So they reach My
She's like, this
Cottage.
is a bit misleading.
Yeah. And she has
Which
to
is cool.
climb through a window to get them inside because he thinks that there's just going to be someone there, because usually the Crabtrees, who work for him and work at the cottage, I can't call it a cottage, but I'm going to, they are out of town and probably got caught in the rain. So Sophie gets them inside. She has to build the fire, even though he's like, no, I'll do it. And she's just like,
Do
you
you
don't
even
even
know how
know
to do
how
it? And he's
to.
like, oh, yeah, you just light a log, which she's like, no, a
It's just.
fire requires kindling, much like a relationship requires, just small things to get it started.
Yeah, and I also think that this is just going to show how privileged the Bridgertons are. It's harkening back to season one where Daphne goes downstairs and Antony's there, and they're just like,
Let's
oh, I
make
was thinking,
warm
yeah, warm milk will help. And
milk.
it's like, how do you do that? How do you turn on a stove? And they're
Yeah.
just like, cold milk will do. It's like, come
It's
on,
good.
man.
We can just drink out of the bottle. We don't even know where the glasses are. Ugh.
At least Lady Mary Crawley can like cook
Make
eggs
eggs. Yeah,
and
exactly.
pee.
And
Either
pee.
way, it's funny. And Sophie is just like so capable, and obviously she's had to do this for her job for a while, and so she knows what to do.
Right.
And so she also mentions, oh, your injury, I can make a compress or something. And he's just like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine.
Because we didn't really talk about this. We mentioned that he seems to have some interaction with the broken glass in this fight he has with Cavendish in the previous episode. So he's been, like kind of wincing as he's driving, like he's in pain. Keeps saying it's a bruise, and she's
Yeah.
like, well, if it's a bruise, I can get you a compress. And we're really left unaware of what this injury is for quite some time.
Yeah, in the book, it wasn't an injury. I like the change, honestly.
I do too, but in the book, basically they get wet and he
He
gets
gets
a
the
cold.
flu.
Yeah, he gets the flu because he had had a cold earlier and hadn't fully recovered when he went to this party. And so it just comes back in like massive, like sneezy, snotty ickiness.
Yeah, but this
But
is.
we want attractive
We
Bridgertons, not
want him to
snotty
have his shirt
Bridgertons.
off. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yes, we do.
Either
Thank
way,
you, Luke Thompson.
yeah, either way, she's going to be treated as a guest. And he insists on that because she's, first of all, been through enough. And second, why not? Why, like, nobody else is here. You can take the guest bedroom. So he brings her to a guest bedroom where that his sisters would usually stay in, which I can only imagine like when they would go here. I think that that's so cute to think that he has the rooms made up for his sisters to visit, and that's really
Like they
cute.
would come by like on their way to Aubrey Hall or on the
Isn't
way
that
back from Aubrey
cute?
Hall or just to hang out. Like, hey, there's like good hunting or whatever,
I
like
like that thought. In
I
the
like the
book, I
idea
think it's
too.
like Mrs. Crabtree's dress or whatever. I'm glad
It
it's like
is.
his sisters.
I like that it's his sisters because they actually fit her and look gorgeous. And they look kind of Daphne-esque, which gives you
They
that
look Daphne to me.
little it kind of makes it more
Real.
Regency love, like more like their peers.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a moment that I'll discuss in a minute. Either way, she's just like, if there's a lady at the house, you should. It's not okay for me to like change into her clothes. And he's like, no.
Those are my sister's dresses.
Because imagine if he did have like a wife or something and he did all that masquerade bullshit and she's just like, oh. Okay, never
No,
mind.
what she's thinking, lady of the house is mistress.
Oh, that's also possible, yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, he doesn't. So he goes to his room, even though, like, refusing her help, all that stuff. In the middle of the night,
He's moaning
he's moaning and
and
groaning.
groaning loudly.
And he is in pain because his cut, basically, it was bleeding out quite a bit.
Yeah,
He
we saw
his
that when he went to bed. Like he pulled up his shirt, and you can see that he's bleeding a lot.
Yeah, the glass clearly sliced his side,
Yeah.
and doesn't do anything for it. He
Well,
just
he's in
goes to
pain, so
bed.
he just like crashes. Like, oh, it'll be better by morning.
He's such a guy.
Guys do this
It's
shit. They
so
so
fucking
totally
dumb.
do.
Like, literally, just put pressure on it and it will be a little bit better.
Yeah, make some effort, minimal
Anything,
effort.
literally anything. But no, he just gets under the covers and is like, I'm gonna be fine. And so Sophie has to deal with the consequences of him moaning and groaning in the middle of the night when it's going to become infected and he has a fever.
Right. So
So,
she goes
yeah.
in. She, of course, when she wakes up in the room, she's got this full candelabra lit. And I'm thinking to myself, that is a fire hazard and you shouldn't be doing that shit. But she wake because they need lighting in the room when she wakes up. So
Yeah.
she
So
wakes
we can't
up.
blame them entirely.
No, we can't blame her.
No.
So she goes in his room and she's like, are you okay? And then she
Shirt
sees,
fully out, like shirt fully open. I mean,
and then she sees the injury and she's like, oh my God. So
why didn't
she,
you say
right.
anything?
And so she's like arguing with this moaning, groaning guy who's not responding. And so he's sweating, he's burning up. She puts a compress. She does do the physical compression, which is important. The compress that she puts on, like when she ties it, it's super loose. And I'm like, that's stupid.
It's
But
probably just an actor thing.
he's a delirious. And
Yeah.
he thinks that he's seeing her as the Lady in Silver, which,
I
plausible.
mean, correct in
Plausible,
part.
yes. And he's like, kiss me, don't leave me, don't leave me
Oh.
again. And the whole time she's like, okay.
What no, what I think sets her up, like I think that it was entirely possible for her to want to have kissed him in that moment.
She does in the book, by the way.
However, what stops her in her mind, in my mind at least, is he says, my lady. And she immediately stops and is like, oh, reality check. I'm not a lady. And he's still not looking for that. He's looking for a version of me that doesn't exist. I'm going to just sleep in this
Doesn't even know
chair.
that for sure, right? Like he's looking for somebody that's
Again, it's a
not the
lady.
person that I am.
Exactly. It doesn't matter at that moment. She's just, okay, I'm going to stay right here. And so the next morning, the Crabtrees show up and they're just like, what the fuck happened here?
Yeah,
And
that they keep the house for him, and so they're kind of like, and Mrs. Crabtree particularly, I love her. This actress I've seen before somewhere, and she's great.
she's awesome. I also like Mr.
I
Crabtree.
like
He's
Mr.
very
Crabtree
sweet.
too, and so like they're both kind of like, what is going on here? And Benedict realizes that, obviously the power in this relationship is Mrs. Crabtree, and he has to explain himself to her. So he explains like that he wants Sophie treated as a guest and everything that had happened, what she'd done for him. And they get her this giant breakfast, and it's
She
lovely.
also, Sophie hides her necklace, which is
Yes.
also important.
Yes. And she actually takes it off at one point, and puts it in a drawer. So she's basically given free rein in the house, and Mrs. Crabtree.
Well, what Benedict is telling her is like, hey, relax. You don't have to do any of the
She doesn't
housework.
know how to do any of that.
It's
She's
her
She's
thing.
struggling with that so much because her position is like really weird in this
It is
situation.
awkward.
And she tries to like calm down and just like enjoy the garden, but then she feels
Pulled
compelled
weeds.
to weed the garden and gets dirty, and she realizes, I got this beautiful dress dirty. What am I thinking?
Here's a really endearing
This is your
moment.
favorite thing.
Well, it's not my absolute favorite, but I think that it's akin to something I was talking about in the earlier episodes, podcast episodes, about how she can be adorably slightly quirky
Or
without it being
awkward.
grating. And this moment really does show it because Benedict's watching from his bedroom window because he's been confined to his bedroom by Mrs. Crabtree because he needs to convalesce. And he's watching her just walk around the garden and she slips on the gravel and she like recovers, looks really discreetly around just to see if anyone saw that, and then just keeps walking and tries to walk like a normal human. And I just thought found that so endearing.
Human.
It's
It's
very
very
human. And
human.
I find Sophie even more relatable now, which really helps. And I think Yaren Ha gets that.
I mean, I love her facial expressions while she's looking around. They are very much things that we all can relate to, and I love that.
I think the fact that she discreetly looked around instead of like fake admonishing herself, that in itself really did make a difference to me. Because if she had just been like, oh, you stupid girl, how did you do that? Whatever. It's like, no, you can do that in your head. You're not going to do that, verbally. So her just kind of discreetly looking around is like, all right, no one saw that. Great. Perfect. Let's move on.
I
And
meant to do
I meant to do it. Either way, Mrs. Crabtree, at some point later on, catches her trying to do dishes. And she's just like, no, you're a guest. Stop it. And
They
so,
have a conversation. I really like Mrs. Crabtree's role in this. So
me too.
part of the conversation that they have turns to what their roles are. And Mrs. Crabtree points out, she's like, look, do not mistake Benedict's kindness for familiarity. You need to understand what your role is and what his role is, because he's a nice guy. If he says he's going to do something for you, he's going to do it. Like you say, he's going to get you a job, he'll do
You
it.
and Hazel, her friend, who was getting almost gang raped.
But don't mistake that for
Anything more.
anything more, like friendship or
That
something.
will just get you hurt.
And she has other conversations later that I think are reflective of the expectations for someone in that role. But anyway, we'll get
I
to
think
that.
I skipped the, I did skip. I skipped the library scene. I love the library
I do
scene.
too.
I love almost every scene at my cottage, if I'm being honest, because it further develops either their relationship, one of the characters, or recontextualizing what their relationship would mean in the eyes of society. And I think it's very important.
Let's talk about the library.
Let's talk about the library. So she goes into the library, and Benedict's already in there. And
This is where he's also kind of using it as a studio.
yeah, because he has a lot of paintings. He has a lot of knickknacks there. He has a kite that he promised Gregory that he'd mend and didn't. And it goes to show Benedict's.
Penchant for starting things and not finishing them.
Exactly. And so Sophie is looking around. She clearly knows a lot about art, which is surprising to Benedict because he didn't even think for a second that she could read.
Right, clearly far better educated than he had given her credit for, and considering how well spoken she is, it's like, yeah, you should have had a guess.
Yeah, and she's her excuse for that is, oh, the place I used to work at, they let me be in the
Lessons.
lessons with their children. Great. Sure. That makes sense. Either way.
Yeah, you're an ex exceptional student, though.
Yeah, no, really. And she grabs a friend, like in her haste to like leave an awkward situation, she grabs a gr French grammar book and then starts speaking French because, of course, she knows French. We find out later she knows several other languages.
Right, but she also is able, like she when she's talking to him, he's responds in French and his pronunciation is not nearly as good as hers. And she's correcting him. She's like, you need to focus more on the lips. He's like, lips, okay, I'll focus
So
on
he's
your
looking at
lips.
her lips, which has been the thing that he's been looking for this lady in the silver gown. And so he keeps looking at her lips. They almost have a moment. And then Mr. Crabtree's like, hey, you better get upstairs. My wife's about to notice that you're out of bed.
The cock block of,
This century.
the century.
I love Mr. Crabtree, though. He's very sweet. Either way, what's ironic about this, and this is just because, of course, I went through down a rabbit hole, but Luke Thompson, who plays Benedict, he's fluent in French.
Is he? Oh, so he had to like make it bad?
Yeah, isn't that so
Good for
funny?
him.
I
How
love them. I
funny.
absolutely love them.
How
Yes,
funny. Good for
because
him.
it's so funny when you are like an actor who's really good at something and has to pretend that they're bad at it. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
So one of the other things that happens in this library scene before we walk away from it is that Sophie sees and admires Benedict's art, and she's like, "You're an artist," and he's like, "Oh, I dabble. I never finish anything. I suck, basically." And as people do with something that they care a lot about, and she recognizes how important it is to him. So her
And she
thoughts,
also appreciates his art. She really likes
like
one of
some of the
his paintings.
paintings, yeah.
And he is so at this point, he's trying to remove himself from the art thing just because he feels like he didn't earn his place in that Royal Academy. And
Still,
still. But I think
where's Charles
Sophie.
Blake when you need him?
No, really. He needs another lesson. And I think
Not the
not
thoughtful
that.
lesson. Not that I
Sophie
feel
can
like it.
provide a lot of that, but it's like either way, her believing in him and his ability is something refreshing, and it's a part of him he doesn't usually share.
Well, and she's seeing it from a different angle. She's not a teacher. She is not a mentor. She's not someone who's like, oh, criticizing him. And she's also seeing closer to finished work. So her first introduction to his ability to have to be an artist is stuff that he's done and done well or come close to finishing. So she's able to look at it as just, you know, Joe on the street, like, wow, that's really good. As opposed to a Charles Blake, who's like, well, you could get a better brushstroke, or, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, I like part of what you're doing here. She's just enjoying it.
Yeah.
So anyway, you were saying.
The next day after the whole Mrs. Crabtree talk with Sophie about remembering her place, it's not meant to be mean. It's just meant to be a warning of like, hey, he's a very nice guy, very charming, very handsome.
But
don't get swept up in it too much so that you don't remember your place and how this could affect
don't
you.
Get hurt, right?
Yeah. Don't forget how much this could affect you.
Right. Because we, as she will iterate, this could destroy your reputation.
Literally. No one will want to hire you if you're just going to flirt with their sons and get them off base so that they want to marry you instead of marrying a higher society person.
Right.
And also people just have, it's kind of like in a lot of the other Bridgerton books where it's like, you're not going to hire a governess who's hot that could lead people astray.
Right.
And even if they're good at what they're doing.
Right.
Either way. So one day Benedict's just like really getting stir crazy. And so he's like, nope, I'm going to go fly this kite. And Sophie's like, you're injured. And he's like, I guess you'll have to look after me. And
you're not going to tell on me because that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, really? And he's like, yep, really. And so they just like, they go outside.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, what I love about this moment that I noticed in my last rewatch, not this most recent one, but last time, but because we've watched this three times. But what I love about this moment is he's trying to get the kite to fly. He's failing. He's trying to mend it. She's offering to help. And he's like, no, I've humiliated myself enough in front of you. And I love that he feels kind of intimidated by her
competence. Yeah.
And because I don't know, I find that adorable. And he's kind of like bashful about it. He's just like, no, I can do this. Oh, you're an expert on kites now? No, I can fly kites. I have seven siblings.
It's going to work. Damn it.
It's going to work.
And it does work.
But like, there's a moment right before he's about to fly the kite where he looks at the kite and he's like, please God, work. Like, it's in his eyes. He doesn't say it, but you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And it does work. And then he's like, all right, your turn. And she's just like, what do you mean? And he's like, have
fun. Someone's
got
to run with it and I can't because I'm injured. So here you do it.
And what he says is, I mended it for you. And that's so cute. He wanted her to have fun. He noticed that she wasn't able to relax, but with him, she can.
Yeah.
She can let her guard down around him and let herself be happy. And oh my God, it's so sweet.
They're so giggly and cute. It's adorable. But they are so giggly and cute that Mrs. Crabtree sees it. And yeah, Mr. Crabtree's like, well, maybe he just likes her. And she's like, what? No one is going to keep her on as a maid. You know, if something happens, she'll be ruined.
Yeah.
And that's her reputation forever. And second, like, who wants a maid who's like flirting with the boys,
yeah,
know, with your children, or possibly, oh my God, getting pregnant by one of them?
Oh, that'd be awful.
So nobody wants that.
Another cute note that I would like to mention is that in the library scene, he's like, all right, enough with formalities. Don't call me Mr. Bridget and call me Benedict. And she just refuses to.
Yeah, she's
not gonna do that. I think that it's going to lead to a moment later on where she calls him his name and he's going to be like a flash of recognition that she's finally said his name. And he's just like, okay. And it's going to lead to something really cute, I hope. Or it's going to be in an argument and it's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Either way.
Proceeding.
So they are...
The next day.
Yeah, the next day she's going on a walk. Mm-hmm. And she's been told by Mr. Crabtree about this lake. And she wants to skip some stones. Because she's feeling like a kid again. She's reinvigorated. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets to the lake and notices that there are clothes strewn about. And then she notices that there's a fully naked Benedict swimming in the lake. And it's clearly so cold. Apparently he almost got hypothermia doing this.
Like he floats on his back and you can see like the goose pimples all over. It was like, you poor boy. That's so sad.
Luke Thompson. I hope that he got so many blankets after
this. I do too.
Get those face painters around him,
please. Crazy. Yeah.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. guy.
But it's a beautiful scene.
It is. It's gorgeous.
It's,
And she
yeah.
looks amazing. She's in
Oh,
a silver dress
yeah,
this time.
I
Hello.
can't.
Hello, silver dress.
Yeah.
And so he realizes someone's there. And he calls out, he's like, hey, who are you? Whatever. And he gets out fully naked, and puts on his pants, but doesn't fully button them up. It's hilarious. Like, he's like, I want to show you my lower abs.
Well, he also is like, I don't have a lot of patience, but I have a lot of a wellspring of curiosity, so I can be here all day.
Yeah.
I will wait for you to reveal yourself.
And so she
And
finally comes out.
yeah, so she finally comes out and he's like, oh, it's you. Oh,
Of
okay.
course
Yeah.
it's you. And then, and at one
Are you
point, like,
following me?
and then
What's
she's
up with
like,
this?
I'd be okay if you were following me.
Yeah. And then he's just like, no, I wasn't following you. Of course not. I was just going
It's
on a
like,
walk.
oh, like you're not noticing me. She's like, how could I not notice you? And then
She's like,
it's
I
like,
can't help but notice you.
and it's like,
Oh.
ooh.
And
And
so
so.
he, this time, he's the one who leads into the kiss.
Right.
Last time, she was the one who went in for the kiss. This time, it's him.
Right. It's still, this is a very gentle but passionate kiss.
And they go in for seconds, and it's cute. And
But okay, and I do you, are you moving on already, or can I
no.
talk about how this is different?
You can talk about how it's different from the workbook. I don't mind the change.
Oh, I don't mind a large part of the change, because I think it needed to change. All right, so at this point,
Yeah, we'll talk about that next episode.
in the book, he kind of follows her in the woods. Like, she's just kind of trying to get away because she realizes, like, oh, I should not be like
This
kissing
is
this guy.
after he essentially the beginning of the lake scene goes as is seen in the show of her wanting to go on a walk, seeing him hiding, being found out. And she
She
was like,
kind of,
okay, I'm going to leave now.
and he follows her and then kisses her, and it gets into like groping and everything else. She tries to get away, and he like basically tackles her to the ground.
Yeah.
And
He's very aggressive in the
he's
book.
very aggressive with her in the book. And
Not like in a rapey way, but like
but
in like a weird
in
way.
a passionate,
Like that's how
I
you
won't
treat
be
like a
denied.
married couple. Like a married couple would probably go that far.
Yeah, that I won't
But
be denied kind of thing. It's
yeah.
not quite playful.
That's
It's I think it's
no.
meant to be, but it's not.
That's how you treat someone who you know wants you. And you want them, and they're being playful about it. But he in the book is just like, oh, why were you following me? Oh, you don't know what you do to me. Blah,
Yeah, well, and then there's the other part of that conversation
blah,
that we'll talk about now, but we will talk about in the next episode.
blah. Oh my goodness.
But like she like kind of rushes back to the house. Now, what happens in the show is when she gets back to the house, she's like glowing and all
Oh, now we're
happy and like,
giddy.
oh my gosh, like she's going ahead of him. And she, comes in, she sees this crab tree and she gets a straight face, like, no, I'm not super happy.
She also rushes into a room and closes the door and is like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
What
but
are you
behind
doing?
her, less than 5 minutes behind her, is Benedict soaking wet, looking all giddy. And Mrs. Crabtree's like, oh shit.
Because for
So,
all Mrs. Crabtree knows is that they had full-on sex.
we don't know exactly what happened, but it ain't good.
Yeah.
And so Mrs. Crabtree, and she's been treating his wound. When she's treating his wound, she's basically like, look, I've kept my mouth shut, but you cannot do this to her. She's a maid. And
There's a
one of the
power
things that,
imbalance.
right, that's what she talks about is the power imbalance.
So
And
important to talk about this, and
right,
especially
and
in this season.
right, and I think that it's the kind of thing for me, it actually, because he is clearly informed at this point of the power imbalance, some of his behavior following this to me is worse. In the book, no one really tells him, like, hey, you can't do this, she's a maid. Or that there will be any negative consequence for her, or that she might be just giving in because you're the boss, which is something that's how it's phrased to him here. And if I were Benedict, I'd be like, oh God, does she not like me? She's just giving in. It should cause him to have pause.
I can understand why you would be upset about some of his behavior going forward, However, I also see from his perspective of him show this is him showing restraint compared to what he would have before if he hadn't had that conversation. I feel like if he hadn't had this conversation, he would have gone full Book Benedict, been like
Book
very,
Benedict,
very
got on
forward, very, let's just have sex right now,
a. Yeah,
all of that
he
stuff.
bugged the shit out of me in the book, and I go off about it in our book series. So, if you are curious, please see our book series
And we'll
of
talk
the
about it more
gaslighting.
in the next episode. However, I think that this conversation is very important for the audience to hear, and all, and I think it's honestly more for the audience than it is for Benedict, because Benedict, regardless, we know that they're going to end up together, all of that stuff,
Because it's
because it's Bridgerton. Like, it, how could they not?
Bridgerton. And is there any other woman he's interested in? Hell no.
No.
So no.
Or man,
Or
no.
man. No.
Charles Blake is nowhere to be found.
It's true.
Either way, I think that in general, going forward, it just that power imbalance is something he keeps in mind and he resists,
But not well.
but not well because he likes her so much. And that's supposed, and honestly, it makes it a little bit more endearing for me that he like is showing restraint in this episode, but then going forward, it just goes to show close proximity for them just doesn't work because they are just like so obsessed with each other.
Yeah, they are. And that's kind of the point of the book too. I mean,
Yeah.
it's not like that's completely insane.
Right.
But it that thought being in your head of you're taking advantage. Because again, the way it's always phrased is, oh, like, she's a maid and you don't want to get a maid pregnant, as opposed to you're taking advantage of her and she's just giving in, because she has to say yes. That's the first time that's been said in any of the Bridgerton context, and that sense of entitlement, she's challenging it in a way that is easier for him to palate, I think.
I think so too. And but obviously, at the same time, they don't know how much Sophie wants it as well.
Right, but how much she wants it isn't going to make a hill of beans worth of difference. I keep saying hill of beans.
Say kill
I do.
beans.
It's not going to make any difference in the scheme of things because she's the one who's going to suffer for it.
That's
She's the
true.
one who's not going to have a
And that's what
job
she
and
keeps
income.
being reminded of.
Right, but she can't seem to restrain herself either. So,
Yeah.
anyway, so that's pretty.
Well,
No, 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 I'm sorry.
no, they have this fuck ass conversation. But it again is showing his restraint and his respect for her that he that they meet up again in the library. He's actually painting again. He's doing a
Doing the Lady
sketch.
in Silver.
Yeah, the Lady in Silver
And it's a better
again.
sketch than he's had in a while.
It's more vivid, but he still can't get her face. And it's almost like Flynn Rider from Tangled. It's like, you just can't get my nose right.
It's like, well, it's kind of like, well, maybe if you have Sophie sit still for a second.
Maybe look her in the
Yeah,
eye.
instead of looking at her.
Anyway, so he's doing that and Sophie comes in, she doesn't see the painting, but she's talking to him and they both agree it's time to go to London. He's fully recovered now. It's time to go. And then he stops her from leaving. And she's like, because she's like, oh, thank you for looking and seeing. I can't wait to see what you have in mind for me and Hazel as far as employment's concerned. And then she's about to leave. And he stops her and he says, I'm really sorry for how I acted at the lake. I
Regret
regret
it.
it.
And she's like, well, then we'll never talk about it again.
She doesn't say she regrets it too, but
No.
she says, we'll never talk about it again. Don't worry about it. We can ignore
We're
it.
good. We're fine.
Let's compartmentalize.
Moving
And
on.
then they leave my cottage and they both longingly look back because
That
that's
was
where
the
they
happiest
felt
they have been.
happy.
Especially together. So that's the end of the episode.
Indeed.
And what were your best
All of my cottage. I
parts?
genuinely think that every single scene there really does build on something that's important to the plot, and I don't think they wasted any time there. I think that was it was so important to have that, and I'm glad that they showed what they showed. The kiss, adorable. We love to see it. Sophie, I love how capable she is and how much she puts Benedict in his place because of it. It's very cute. And Benedict, I love how he brings out the childish wonder with Sophie and how he can make her feel more at ease while also frustrating the hell out of her and being cute. And it's just adorable. Violet failing at, oh, sorry, no, that's worst part. Sorry about that. The crab trees.
Yeah.
The crab trees are very sweet. I think that Mrs. Crabtree is bringing up a lot of important points that are especially important for later on in this season and about what he should not do, go too far with Sophie, because it could, first of all, make both of them miserable, second of all, ruin her reputation, and it would be bad. Let's see, Penelope and Colin, I think they're very cute. I like the very, we're seeing a lot less of them, and I think that's smart, but Penelope is still having a role with the Bridgertons, and her. I don't think we had ever seen her really talk to Francesca other than that one time at that ball in season three, which I really liked that moment. But Penelope and Francesca kind of developing that friendship, being sisters and sister-in-law, it's very sweet, and I like that they are including that. And her giving her advice is very fun, and I love the carriage scene 2.0. That's cute. And Francesca being brave enough to ask about what she's missing, because I think that can talking about sex can be extremely personal, and as it should be, but at the same time, you have to show a great deal of courage to ask others about it and to see what she's missing out on, especially when it implies something about your relationship. When it's like, oh, I haven't been reaching the most full extent of my pleasure with my husband of several months. And it's just like, oh, why? It's just like, that's a good question. I don't know. But I like that she shows courage in doing that. And also, I like Violet and Marcus. I think they're cute.
My best part, Sophie and Benedict together. Sophie especially, separately. I mean, Benedict's cute, but I think that Sophie,
Shines.
definitely, yeah, she's definitely shining at the My Cottage situation. I love Penelope and Colin, the coach scene 2.0, love that. I like Victoria and Marcus. I never thought that would be a best part. There we are.
Victoria?
Not Victoria, Violet. Violet and Marcus, sorry. I love the Crabtrees. I think that they are great. And that, again, you know, they provide, it's not just comic relief, it's more of a normalcy, like the
They
contents.
ground
Yeah,
it.
I do. And I think that's important.
And that's, I think, a common thing, not to go too far off, but like I think that's a common theme this season of you get a lot, a dose of fantasy, and then you get the harsh dose of reality. And you get like all the childlike wonder with Sophie and Benedict at My Cottage. If the Crabtrees weren't there, they wouldn't really come back to reality. And then, so the Crabtrees have to act as that opposite force.
I didn't put anything about Francesca's and John down. I don't consider that a best part for me. So
It was just her courage for
yeah.
me. It
So
wasn't.
what were your worst parts?
Lady Featherington, you absolute greedy bitch. Like, are you fucking kidding me? She has done so much for you these past 20 years, and you aren't giving her a raise? You haven't given her a raise in 20 years? That's inflation, babe. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, honestly, we are back to having Featherington's as the worst part, maybe all the time.
Potentially. I mean, we don't see
potentially.
them. Well, not all Featheringtons. Penelope's fine.
She's not a Featherington anymore.
Not
She's a
anymore. That's so
Bridgerton.
true.
She's a
That's so
full-on
true.
Bridgerton, and
And
that's
Philippa
fine.
does show, make an appearance,
But she's not
but
like
she's
funny.
not
She's not anything.
good. It's not
Yeah.
good.
So we're, but
Either
I'm
way, the
yeah.
Araminta, you started the wars, and I know with what fucking money. Or I have an inkling about what fucking money you're using. The Queen, you need to give up, babe. You've got to give up. Like, you cannot control the universe, even though you are like at such a high position in the world. That is not how life works. Violet failing at talking about sex with Francesca.
That is good.
That you need. How have you gone so long not being able to talk about sex when you clearly had so much sex with your husband? I understand not being comfortable doing it, but like,
Here's the other
you
thing,
can't even
like, how
describe
much
it.
you're having that much sex with your husband? You've got 8 kids in the house. Are you telling me that some of these kids didn't figure out y'all are having sex? I mean,
Anthony must have
Anthony
known.
for sure knew. The older boys
The
definitely knew.
three older boys
Definitely
definitely
knew.
knew. ABC, they knew.
They knew. Daphne probably knew, but she like
Didn't
maybe
know
didn't
what it meant.
understand. And
Eloise and Francesca were too young, and obviously, like,
Hyacinth was not in existence. So
and
yeah, and
Gregory
Gregory
was a
was,
baby.
yeah, he was like
So,
two.
yeah.
So yeah, so I understand why the younger kids don't, but you had to at least have a cover story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
And
what else, anything
the
else?
last one is Benedict saying he regretted the kiss. I understand. I absolutely
Oh,
agree that
we're gonna
you.
get in the next episode is
I
me going
know.
off
I
on
know.
the Benedict. It's coming.
I know. He, there's a lot of good things he says as well, but and I know that it comes from a stupidly misplaced place. But we'll talk about it. But for this episode, I understand after the Crabtree conversation saying, I apologize for letting that happen. That's fine enough. You don't have to say you regretted it. You could have
No,
just
that's gone
been,
too far.
you could have
But
just not
it's the kind of thing that
acknowledged.
just comes out of your mouth. You
You
know, like
should have not.
I can see that coming out of my mouth in the apologizing
But you don't have to
thing.
insult her by
Well,
being
but
like,
I don't
I
think he's
regretted
thinking
doing
that.
that. I know he's not thinking that, but she certainly is. And that's bothering her. And I don't blame it. I don't blame her.
No.
But yeah, no, him saying he regretted it specifically. Apologizing for it is a completely different thing. That's fine. But saying you regretted it is completely separate.
Yeah, I failed to put it down as the best part, the Luke Thompson torso. Very impressive.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
See all of it, and that's kind of impressive. Yeah, he did some work, and good for him.
What I love about this press tour is no one's asking about how, if he did work. He just looks like that. And
Sweet.
isn't that crazy? Like for Luke Newton's press tour, all they can talk about is like, oh, you worked out for the role. I'm glad that they have gone away from that line of questioning of like, how much did you have to do to get in shape for the role? It's like,
Yeah,
no, this is just me, bro.
this is real.
And
This
not
is
to like
me.
discount Luke Newton's work that he put into that,
No.
but I'm glad that they're veering away from that. Sorry, continue.
Yeah. I because like I said, I meant to mention that and I failed. So the my worst parts. All the Queen Charlotte bullshit, and that includes the Lady Danbury stuff. I don't fucking care. This is one of those tacked on subplots that I don't care about. And it's taking up an inordinate amount of time to me because we are hearing the same thing over and over and over again. And I love Lady Danbury as a character and the costumes, all that stuff. But she's saying the same thing in every venue. And it's kind of like, I just find it kind of boring, or very boring.
I agree.
I really hate Varley being treated like shit by Lady
Yeah.
Featherington. I think you would hope that the Featheringtons had learned something and they have not. And so I'm really, really bothered by that. And I didn't talk about it in any specific way, but I agree with you about like Violet not being able to have a conversation with Francesca. But I also am like, I don't consider it, it's hard to call it whether it's a worst part or just a, oh, I'm so sad part, because it's basically the John and Francesca inability to have a real conversation about what's happening in their bedroom. And it's not for lack of trying, it's for lack of vocabulary.
Sure.
And you almost wonder like how in ideal universe you would get past that, because they're trying, or they seem to be trying.
It's hard to say because I mean, if we're looking at like how people usually get there, especially women, like on their own, it, without like the, like because Penelope even says it's not always through the act of lovemaking that you get there.
Right, but she goes into that weird analogy thing that makes no sense.
Yeah,
It didn't even
yeah.
make sense to me. Like, what are you talking
I she was trying to do like the look can help you get started there, but whatever. Either way, I think that it's if she had a like Simon figure telling her to touch herself and
Yeah.
like, hey, experiment with yourself to figure out where it is so you can help John, that
Yeah.
would be something completely apart.
Right,
And
and.
maybe that's what Michaela will be. Because maybe Michaela will be like, hey, experiment. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea. But I think that in general, like, she needs to figure things out, like, on her own body first before going to John and be like, this is what I want.
Well, right. No, I mean, again, like I said, it's a vocabulary issue, but even absent someone telling you where your body parts are, you can figure this shit out.
That's true.
And it's just strange to me that that hasn't happened. I mean, I can see John being unaware of a woman's body,
Yeah.
and I can see her being unaware of a man's body, but being unaware of your own body is kind of like, oh, wow, that's him.
It is sad.
And you know, it's concerning because she is specifically asking and not getting clear answers, and that's really sad. What was your grade for this episode?
B plus. I think it's on par with the last episode. It has some really good parts with like the whole Mike Hodge thing, but there are also certain things like the Queen subplot again that's kind of dragging it down a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like other than that, I don't really have any major complaints. I mean, the Maid Wars did happen in the books. They're just showing it this time. My Cottage obviously happened, and I like the stuff that happened there. The
Yeah.
only thing that's really set apart is the Queen stuff, and
Yeah.
they're set. And the other thing with Francesca is setting up for her season and all that stuff. So I can't fault them for including it. So it's like, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I give it a B plus also. I think that there's a lot of good here. I think that we are moving right along here in this first half of Bridgerton season four. We have one more episode in this half. Obviously, we are going to be like everyone else, awaiting the next group of installments. But we are looking forward to sharing them with you, and this one with you for sure, this next one. We hope that you join us, and cheers.
Cheers.